Ladies and gentlemen, sit right up.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see the elephant! When I'm a roll on a honey.
Welcome to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show on Hump Day Wednesday. All right, folks, we're here. We're live on FM 105.5 AM 660 The Answer. Of course, now you can access us on Alexa devices and the like. And, of course, you can always listen to us on AM660TheAnswer.com and your smart devices by downloading the free Answer Orlando app. And you only have to do it one time. Okay, I am the philosopher, political mad scientist, Christopher Hart. In the studio with me today is, of course, the chairman of the board, the union boss, Mike McBath. We've got a lot to talk about today. We got market news. We got the NSA that was attacked up there at Fort Meade this morning by three guys. You got to wonder what they were up to, what they were thinking. We're also going to be joined in the bottom of this hour by Jason Matthews. He's written a book called The Kremlin's Candidate. And no, I don't think it's about President Trump, but we'll find out.
It's actually a novel. What a title at this period of time, right?
Yeah, it's the third in a trilogy, which, by the way, is being made into a movie coming out March the 2nd. So we'll be talking. By the way, he's a former CIA station chief, I understand. So we'll get his take on things going on in Washington, D.C. and the intelligence community. Of course, we have to start with the shooting at the school in Broward County, Florida here. I believe it's Parkland. It's a high school shooting, and we'll give you what we know about it. The suspect, I'll go ahead and tell you first, has been caught. They say it was an uneventful arrest. However, the suspect right now evidently is being examined in a hospital. I think we're seeing right now the I don't know if this is a suspect who was arrested or not. Anyway, we're watching video. We're trying to sort all this out. The details are not full. They're kind of sketchy, but there is a few things that we can tell you. Fox just confirmed that.
They're talking about that the actually there's about 14 individuals, right?
There's multiple casualties, right? Multiple fatalities, but they're not saying how many fatalities. There are at least 14 victims, and the kid was not a present student, but evidently was.
He was a past student.
He was a former student.
The other thing, Chris, which is a little throws us off, on this breaking news, it said 14 taken to the hospital, but they didn't say, you know, I mean, that's why coming across is constant, is contradicting itself by a number of ways.
What we do know, though, is that there was a shooting.
Right.
The suspect has been arrested as a former student, a white teenager, 18 years old, and he evidently has killed a number of students, 14 victims, they're saying, but multiple fatalities. So that's all they're saying. Numerous. Right. And this is from the school superintendent, the Broward County superintendent. It was a high school, and that's in essence what we know now. There's the parents are now at the school, and obviously the parents are going through a nightmare and trying to find their children, make sure they're okay, and if they're not, that's even worse, of course. Evidently, the police responded very quickly. And the suspect ran from the scene, scaled a fence, evidently, and was running away. And the authorities did catch him. And we don't know how he got the weapons. Don't know yet right now what kind of weapon that he was using or weapons. And as soon as we find out more details, we'll certainly let you know. But that are the facts that we know so far, that there was a school shooting at a high school in Broward County. A white former student, teenager, 18 years old, was the perpetrator, and 14 victims, they're saying, and quote-unquote numerous fatalities. So as soon as we know more details about what exactly happened, we will certainly let you know, and we'll continue to reiterate
the update to the show. He put much resistance, meaning the shooter seemed to be like, the minute he's confronted, that's it.
Yep. Don't know if
that's pretty rare.
Yep. Maybe he had no intention of killing himself. Maybe he ran out of ammunition and couldn't kill himself. Don't know. But he was not. He's not dead. Okay. Mm-hmm. They did take him to the hospital. Don't know why. But evidently he is alive and has been apprehended. Some of the injuries now are from students trying to get away and things like that. So once again, we don't know how many fatalities. They're just simply saying, quote unquote, numerous fatalities. And of course, we have to presume that the fatalities are mostly students and perhaps teachers as well. Once again, we do not know. Those are the facts on the ground. These are the facts in politics. It did not take even for the event to be over before there was a Democrat on the floor of the Senate, which, by the way, after all this business of the Democrats wanting to get immigration into an open debate on the Senate, they are at present filibustering that open debate. So, in essence, the Democrats are now filibustering themselves, which allowed time for Senator Murray to go to the Senate floor this afternoon as this was happening, mm-hmm. and, of course, call for gun legislation. And Bill Nelson, not to be outdone, was on the local Fox, I believe, channel doing the same thing. It took him a little bit longer to get over there, but nonetheless, this is still a crime scene, and we didn't know until just a little while ago that the perpetrator had been caught, and then was there more than one, and now the sheriff's department is saying, no, there was only the one.
But you know what, Chris, when you go back to this, like you're talking about, they're claiming gun control and everything, think about, which I believe is the true cause of a lot of this, think of all the garbage that is produced out of Hollywood, not just movies, TV shows, video games, everything that's constantly flooded these young kids. Then when something in their life goes astray, I think they believe the imaginary world becomes real. And I know where my blame would go. I wouldn't be blaming guns. People pull the triggers. It's not the gun that pulls the trigger.
Well, there are a lot of factors at play, and that is certainly one. No doubt about it. The lack of discipline in our public schools has got to be another one. And then you can take up the subject of should there be gun-free zones? Should some of the school staff perhaps have access to their own weapons that they could use in a case like this, principal, vice principal, right. maybe teachers, as long as they're qualified and knowledgeable about such as that. But all of these factors come into play, but at the bottom, but at the end of the day, this kid obviously had some kind of axe to grind. We don't know if he was suspended from the school, if he had been in a fight with somebody at the school, he was evening the score. Maybe there wasn't a coincidence that it was Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's something involved there as well. Yeah. But nonetheless, the kid has been caught, and as soon as we know anything more about that situation, we'll let you know. Plus, we'll go over the details again periodically throughout the show, just to make sure people are aware of what's going on down there. This is in Broward County, Florida.
Don't you wonder, too, Chris, with the amount of military people that are trained in the military that are teaching in the different schools
yeah.
and stuff? Now, don't you think they would be suitable to
I would think so.
Pistols at least in the school classrooms, meaning tested and verified? So if something like this breaks out, we know these people have been trained in the military for years. Why not? That's insane that they're not armed.
Well, that would be one issue, is to where you keep the weapon.
Oh, I know.
Because it would have to be, you know, inaccessible to anybody but the person qualified to use it. But nonetheless, mm-hmm. there are solutions to these problems.
There are solutions
right.
out there.
And once again, if the kid couldn't have accessed a firearm, he could have done something else. When a person has hate in their heart and they're determined to act on that hate, they'll find a way to do it. And this kid found weapons. And in fact, at the end of the day, it may have been one of the more inefficient methods of his enacting his hate. But the bottom line is that's what we know right now. And the Democrats are out there once again. They
isn't that terrible? Before the things even resolve, before the numbers we know, what all the facts are, they're out there giving us their opinion and judgment right now. Thank you.
All right. One thing this has done is at least temporarily taken Rob Porter off of the table for the media. They can't get enough of that guy. All right. Anyway, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get to some of the other day's news as well. And if anything else comes across, if we get any more facts, we'll certainly bring them to you right away. Anyways, please don't go away, because we'll be right back.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
Mattress stores are all crazy, and they're all the same. They try to force you to buy a new mattress every 8 years. Why? Would you buy a car that you couldn't maintain? Instead of repairing it or even changing the tires, you have to replace it? Of course not. That's crazy. But that's what happens when you go to any mattress store, because all national brand mattresses are sewn or glued shut. Impossible to alter after purchase. If mattress is in the name, expect the same. A major purchase you can't maintain. And that's crazy. So visit Relax and Comfort, where you'll find sane sleep systems. See how you and your partner can enjoy your own firmness with the same mattress, and how you can change them at any time. With stores in Winter Park, Windermere, and Sanford, you're just minutes away from perfect sleep at Relax and Comfort. Learn more at relaxandcomfort.com or call 407-544-3401.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food, but those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
In traffic, we've got the answer.
I-4 slowdown started about Lake Monroe, and they continue westbound all the way to downtown Orlando and even past Millennia. Doesn't clear up until about Celebration. Highway 50 is slow from about the Orlando Executive Airport to about I-4 right now. And then you're slow and go all the way to Pine Hills. You have a couple of accidents to watch out for, including one right on I-4 in East Colonial Drive that is causing some slowdowns. I'm Dwayne, and that's your Answer Traffic Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
Okay, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen, the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. We're here, we're live. 407-774-8255 is the number, and we are monitoring the situation in South Florida, Broward County in particular. Once we know more facts, we'll go over that with you again here shortly. By the way, we got some good news for you. This is some terrific news for a local Winter Park family. I think I told you about this about a week ago, I think it was. That Julia Kebble had been missing for a week.
Young lady.
At that time, yes. She was found last night, she and her dog. The family and the authorities and all are trying to sort everything out, trying to figure out what happened, how she got where she was. I don't know where she was found. I don't know what the situation is. I just know that she was found, and I do know this. That we were praying for her. I know many of you were praying for her. I was praying for her. And the longer she was away, the worse things could have happened to her. So she has been found, and she's safe and sound with her dog, back with her family. And, of course, that's terrific news. There was also some good news on Wall Street today.
Well, you know, we had a little bit fun again. This is the four-day rally we're in right now, which is nice to see. We had not as much fluctuation as normal. We had about a 350-point range. We ended up the day up 254 points. So we're all a little bit financially healthier at this moment. The 10-year Treasury, however, did bump up, closing in on a new high, 2.91%. And, you know, the problem with that, again, as we know, you know, the U.S. has a massive, massive debt. And the reality is, as rates go up, just remember, it keeps costing us more and more the supply or, the let's say, to cover the debt. And that's something that will have to be addressed at some point. Hopefully the implementation of tax cuts and things like that, which will bring in further revenues, will help address this. But you are in a rising interest rate period to a limited extent. The CPI index came out today at 2.1%, a little bit above the projection of 2%. But there, again, this is certainly livable with, but keep in mind, we got a strong economy, we got a GDP that is growing, you know, so all the right ingredients are still out there. Nothing has really changed other than the correction we have, which had gone below 10%, was a pretty strong correction. Now we're just going to probably slowly repair ourselves.
Interesting that you mentioned the debt, because the number the government put out for the tax revenues for the month of January were record numbers, not low, high.
Yeah, that actually what they did, they collected over $361 billion for January and change, okay, which was, that's in total tax revenue. They spent approximately $311 billion, so 361 from 311. $49 billion.
Well, actually, that's 50.
I know, but I'm just.
It was 311
right,
plus.
There's plus. There's
all
pluses.
Right, so there.
There's approximately
rounded off.
There's approximately $49 billion on the plus side. Now, despite the monthly surplus of $49 billion plus, the federal government is still running a deficit of $175 billion for fiscal 2018, which started in 2017.
Let me tell you what this means. And I believe it's October 1st, 2017, the fiscal year 2018 started for the United States government and a lot of corporations. And the deficit spending started October 1st, so you had deficit months, October, November, December. We were running, by the end of December, a deficit for the year, which would, at that time, 3 months old, was over $200 billion. Then January happens. January, we actually took in more money than we spent.
Something very unusual.
Yeah, $49 billion more.
Yeah, it's and that, nice, nice
that,
ticket.
That paid down the deficit to $175 that we'll be carrying forward now into February. We'll see what happens in February, March, and going forward. But this would have been the first bit of the tax cut. This wouldn't have, because what this is reflecting is investment revenue taxes. This is not reflecting payroll taxes.
Right.
Okay? Because payrolls haven't been increasing enough to make the government this flush. This is Apple bringing that money back to the United States. This is other corporations taking advantage of the tax cut and people cashing out at the end of the year with their investments. And so you had a lot of people making a lot of money. And so the government makes a lot of money. And this is the key. If people can't make a lot of money, the government ain't going to make a lot of money.
Don't you think March and up to April 15th will be a nice period of time for bringing in tax revenues? Because a lot of people have to supplement, you know, their taxes. They didn't pay enough.
Well, I don't know. We're going to find out.
Yeah, we're going to find out.
Because in those months, we're going to see also the effect of the Trump tax cut.
Right.
So there'll be less money coming in from payrolls. Right?
Right.
Because those people are going to be seeing that tax cut in their check, right? The $300 here, $100 there, whatever. And then the corporations, though, are going to also be seeing a tax cut, but you will be spurring economic growth.
You have more people working now than we did, you know, back a few months ago.
You're going to have more people making money, period. And as they make more money, the government will make more money as well. I suspect, though, you're going to see a bit of a dip in the government revenues, and then it will begin an upward slope, okay? And so I don't expect February to be as sweet as January was, maybe not even March.
But as
you get into summer, you're going to see those revenues start to cook up again because corporations are going to be paying taxes that they didn't used to pay before, even with a higher tax rate. Because it was more business savvy to take that money out of the country, leave it out of the country, or leave it locked up in investments where it was not producing tax revenue. Now they want to free it up. They want to bring it back, and they're only happy to pay 20% tax on it.
Right. I mean, and again, any business operates like a smart businessman. We got to bring this money and use it the most efficient way possible. And with the work of Trump and with Congress, we've gotten ourselves to a point where we're capitalizing on that.
Your old buddy Chuck Schumer on the floor of the Senate today said, as you know, in regard to the bonuses and the raises and stuff like that, he said that corporations are only doing what's good for corporations. And he's right. But here's the part that the moron misses, is that what's good for corporations is good for the people that work for them, and that's good, and the whole picture of it is good for America. So I think it was Calvin Coolidge that said the business of America is business. You know, that's what we're all about. That's what drives our economy, what drives our government, what drives our lifestyle. I mean, did iPhones come from some democratic treaties?
No. I mean, it's very...
It came from a capitalistic endeavor, did it not?
Who operates better, corporations or government?
There it is.
It's cut and dry.
There it is.
And Chuck hadn't figured that out. How many years has he been up there?
He thought he was saying something bad, but in a way he was saying something good.
Thank you, Chuck.
All right, but then again, they're up there filibustering themselves, so
that's
what more?
That's unbelievable.
It is. All right, we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show.
And AM 660, The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel says the shooting suspect is an 18-year-old former student at the South Florida school where the shooting erupted. He says the teen was arrested without incident after he was located off the school grounds in a nearby community. He didn't give details of when the suspect had attended the school, but the sheriff says the suspect wasn't currently enrolled. He also says the shooter was outside and inside the school at points during the attack. He didn't elaborate. The sheriff says several SWAT teams have gone in during the afternoon and are clearing every building at the Parkland High School complex to ensure no other threat remains. He also says that the FBI has stepped in and will begin processing what he describes as a horrific scene. On Wall Street, the Dow by 253 points, the NASDAQ rose 130, the S&P advanced 36, oil up $1.41 today. This is SRN News.
News and the latest answer traffic now.
Authorities have identified the school shooter at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School. No information on the shooter has been released, but authorities did confirm the shooter's apprehension. The FBI is still on the scene at the school. Over 20 people have been injured and have been taken to area hospitals. Orlando Police Chief John Mina filed paperwork to run for sheriff in Orange County, and current Orange County Sheriff Jerry Demings is going to be running for Orange County Mayor. Other candidates for sheriff include retired Orange County Sheriff's Office Captain Thomas Aaron Strout and Walt Disney World Security Manager Jose Lopez. Mina filed no party affiliation, Lopez filed as a Democrat, and Strout as a Republican. Five more miles of the Wekiva Parkway are getting ready to open. In a little over a month, there will be a grand opening that includes an opening day 5K and a ribbon-cutting ceremony. We have a high of 75 this Valentine's Day. Your AccuWeather details in just a moment. I'm Zwayne with your Answer News Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Janice Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
I-4 slowdown started about Lake Monroe and they continue westbound all the way to downtown Orlando and even past Millennia. Doesn't clear up until about Celebration. Highway 50 is slow from about the Orlando Executive Airport to about I-4 right now. And then you're slow and go all the way to Pine Hills. You have a couple of accidents to watch out for, including one right on I-4 in East Colonial Drive that is causing some slowdowns. I'm Zwayne, and that's your Answer Traffic Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
Okay, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show live on FM 105.5 AM 660, The Answer. Coming to you from the Relaxing Comfort Studios, Mike McBath and myself, Christopher Hart, here in the studio, 407-774-8255. We got a guest lined up, but I just need to real quickly update you on this situation in Broward County, South Florida here. Once again, there has been a high school shooting, a former student who has been apprehended, quote-unquote, without incident. He, however, has been taken to a hospital. We don't know any more details about him other than that. A young 18-year-old white male, he is being described as, former student of this high school. There have been 14 taken to the hospital with wounds. And evidently, in addition to that, quote-unquote, numerous fatalities. We don't know any more than that. We were just watching a student here who was a witness to it, and it, I believe he said as he was exiting the school, he saw a security guard who had been shot. So evidently both adults and students were victims in this shooting. That's what we know about it right now. Those are basically all the facts that have been given out. The kid has been identified. I don't see any point in us talking about his name, but he has been identified and was a former student evidently at this school. So as we find out more details about it, we'll certainly let you know. In the meantime, we have an author lined up with us who happened to be in the CIA for about 30 years. So, and he's written a book called The Kremlin's Candidate, and it's part of a trilogy being made into a movie. So I'd like to welcome to the show today Jason Matthews. How you doing, Jason? Thanks for being
on
the show.
Good afternoon. How are you? Nice to be with you.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you spending some time with us today.
I want to just say that our thoughts are with everybody in Broward County.
I appreciate that. By the way, the president has also issued a statement with his condolences and saying he's contacted and working closely with Governor Scott about this incident. Okay, so first of all, Jason, please tell us a little bit about yourself before we get to your book and why you wrote it. You were in the CIA 30 years. You must have been right out of college. You were recruited.
That's right. Both my wife and I, we met on the job, and we both retired after 33 years in the clandestine service. That's the part of the CIA that sends officers overseas to embassies in capital cities, and mostly with a cover job as a State Department officer, and then at night we steal secrets for the U.S. government.
Well, it's good to hear that. I hope you get a few.
We got some. Don't worry.
Good.
You also worked in some pretty, shall we say, sensitive areas. Would that be the way to say it? The Middle East, the former Soviet bloc, the Far East. I mean, those are all the hot spots.
Well, I tell you, during the years of the Cold War, there were targets everywhere. Russians, Chinese, you name it. And we were kept busy, as you can imagine.
I certainly can. And you were stationed in places where you really weren't supposed to be. In other words, those operations were, you know, very sensitive, shall we say.
That's right. We've specialized in what they call denied area operations, which means you're posted to capital cities where they surveil you 24 hours a day.
I see. So you retired. Is that when you became an author?
That's right. It was sort of therapy. After your career ends, it's such an intense career. It's very experiential. And I started writing basically as a little bit of a therapy to sort of relive my career, my life and work. All the novels are fictitious, but they are informed by my career, by the people we knew, and the people and the things we did.
You're sort of a modern-day Ian Fleming of sorts, I guess. Wasn't he in MI6 or something like that?
Yeah, he was, during the war and then after the war, too. But I don't use a cigarette holder.
Okay. But I guess it would be safe to say, though, you're a modern-day spy.
Well, you know, the CIA officers overseas look for foreigners who have access to secrets. And they get them to spy for us.
I see.
So we're case officers, we're spy handlers, but the foreigners we recruit are the actual real spies.
And so you used your experiences to write, it's a trilogy, and The Kremlin's Candidate is the final book of the trilogy. Am I understand that correctly?
That's right. That's correct. The books are a story of Dominica, who is a KGB girl, who is recruited by Nate, who is a CIA boy, and against all odds, they fall in love, and they have misadventures, and she narrowly escapes being caught as a CIA mole, and it goes on and on. And then on the 2nd of March, the movie Red Sparrow, made after the first book, is due to be released.
Mike, you were just saying.
Yeah, no, I saw that was being released at the theater the other day, the trail, and actually it looked pretty terrific. Yeah,
well,
so
it's a cut above most of the movies you see these days, in that it's not based on a comic book, and It's got Jennifer Lawrence and Joel Edgerton and Jeremy Irons, a tremendous cast. It's atmospheric. It's sexy. It's violent. And it's really an interesting spy thriller.
I'm surprised they didn't have you play in it.
I didn't want to take away from the leading men.
Oh, okay, that's what I thought. You know?
Speaking of leading men, would Nate happen to be you and Dominica happen to be your wife?
We get that question a lot. There's nothing autobiographical in any of the novels, but it's basically a mosaic of people we've known. So there's a little bit of Jason in all the characters.
I got you.
I got a question, Jason. You know, in all these type of novels and movies and everything, when there's passing of lots of money around, is the money actually traced, or let's say they, you know, go bribe the guy, here's $50,000 or whatever, what happens? I mean, is anybody responsible, or you just give it to the other person, hope that they come along this way?
Are you talking about in CIA operations?
Yeah. When you're trying to bribe people or move people along, and do you get a big checkbook, or is that just Hollywood?
He's asking techniques here.
Yeah, I got to figure out how to do this.
Jason.
It's basically Hollywood. You don't ask a question. You don't bring a briefcase with cash until you know the guy is signed up and is already providing secrets.
There you go.
Okay, right. So pay on delivery.
Pay on delivery.
Absolutely.
So the movie Red Sparrow is part of the first of the trilogy. But the book that's coming out, The Kremlin's Candidate, is the final part of the trilogy. Is that correct?
That's correct. And all three books of the trilogy can be read alone. They stand alone. They can be read in any order. And it's a trick my editor taught me in how to write books that stand alone so you don't have to read them in order, 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking with Jason Matthews. He's the author of the new book, The Kremlin's Candidate, and the new movie, Red Sparrow, is made from his first of the trilogy. And he's a former CIA chief. And the final book, The Kremlin's Candidate, I got to ask you, who is the candidate, right? Is it somebody we know?
No, it's a little bit, it's great to write spy novels today because every time you open up the paper or turn on the TV, there's another plot that falls in your lap.
Right.
The Kremlin's Candidate, the plot is that Vladimir Putin has got a mole high up in the U.S. government. And that mole becomes one of three candidates to become the director of CIA. If the Russian mole gets the job, then Dominica's name becomes knowledge of the Kremlin, and she'll be executed. So they've got to try to stop the Kremlin's candidate from happening.
I gotta say, though, that is it art imitating reality or reality imitating art with all of this Russia collusion talk and everything? Pretty remarkable coincidence or what going on here?
No, you know, I was just writing a classic spy situation. The mole highly placed is going to get a job that's going to really hurt the U.S. government. But like I said, you open up the paper, turn on the TV every day. I wake up every day and I thank Vladimir Putin for being who he is because he's got so much content.
Well, I tell you what, it's same for us. I mean, we get up in the morning and by the time we have our coffee, we've got the show ready to go.
Yeah,
for
got four
that
or five
night.
Tweets are already out there.
I tell you what, it's. But let me ask you this: while I got you on the line, how concerned are you about all of this business? I mean, we had intelligence chiefs speaking on Capitol Hill yesterday saying the Russians are at it again. They won't tell us really a whole lot about what they're doing, but what do you know and how concerned are you?
Well, I'm pretty concerned. Look, it doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or Republican on the left or the right. The dysfunction in Washington, the partisan politics, the hypocrisy, the lying is all fodder for Vladimir Putin's active measures program. These are political influence programs. He just sets up a little lie, a little report, a little leak, and lets us make what we will of it. He probably never thought that his active measures program would be as successful as it has been, but he's got us tied up in knots. and, you know, there's dysfunction in Washington, and he's loving it.
Doesn't active measures require at least some degree of what I believe Lenin used to call useful idiots, like in the media and other places like that?
You hit the nail on the head, and there's no shortage of those guys in Washington.
That is a fact. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're speaking with Jason Matthews, author of the brand new book, The Kremlin's Candidate, which is the final of a three-part trilogy, which you can read separately. These books stand alone. And it's the Red Sparrow trilogy, and the movie Red Sparrow that's coming out is based on his first novel of the trilogy. He's former CIA chief, and I take it you can get these books all in bookstores and Amazon and places like that?
They're all over the marketplace.
All right. Do you have a website that you've set up for these purposes?
There's a Red Sparrow website, and also the publisher Scribner has a website.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
I got a question for him. Yeah, Jason, you know, when you hear of the, I love the word foreign lobbyist, right? Is that sort of like spy? You know, in other words, you know, do you get a distinction here with these people flooding into Washington? Who is what? And who even knows who's in Washington?
Well, that's the problem. You know, you've got lobbyists who are influence peddlers. You've got intelligence officers who are posing as bankers or journalists. You've got what the Russians call the illegals, like the TV show The Americans. These are people who have moved to the United States for 10, 20 years, and they're just waiting to be reactivated. They're sometimes called sleepers, and they're all over the place, and your neighbor may be a Russian sleeper.
I had one that I was certain for a while she was until she moved. Listen, what would you recommend if President Trump were to call you tonight and say, Jason, I heard you on the radio today. You sound like a really smart guy. What can I do to clean up the mess I got here in Washington in terms of the intelligence and all of this other stuff going on? What would you say? Have you thought of that?
Yeah, I have a little bit. Look, the big problem is what's in the Russians' DNA. They like to meddle in other people's affairs. They've meddled in the Baltic elections, in French elections, German elections. They've been doing it since the October Revolution in 1917. They're xenophobic, and they're mistrustful of other people's motives. They don't want to be ignored. They want to be part of the big game. So I would tell the president that as much as it's dangerous, you have to engage with them. You have to get right in their faces and keep them busy, because when you ignore them, that's when they do their worst.
Another question for you too, Jason. With all these Chinese that have infiltrated our, you know, our universities and, you know, government positions, technology-wise, are you comfortable with that?
I'm not comfortable at all. U.S. universities like the overseas Chinese students because they pay full freight and they pay cash.
Yeah. And that should tell you where they're probably getting a lot of that money. One last question before I let you go, and thanks again for being with us, ladies and gentlemen. We're speaking with Jason Matthews, author of the brand-new book, The Kremlin's Candidate, and the movie Red Sparrow is made based on one of his other novels. The situation that you see developing in and around Israel, you worked in the Middle East for a while. What can you tell us about that situation? Is it breaking down? Are the Iranians and Israelis doomed or destined, I should say, to all-out war?
Well, I think the Iranian nuclear program as a foreign threat is probably number one in the short-term or middle-term threat. And, you know, the Israelis are living in a tough neighborhood, and they've got to keep their guard up. The recent allegations against Prime Minister Netanyahu are going to complicate things. And the United States has got to stand by Israel, in my view, because the Iranians aren't going to stop. And they're going to cheat on the nuclear deal, so-called nuclear deal.
Right.
And we're heading for a showdown.
Jason, and one other thing in this North Korea situation, where do you really believe they stand? Do you think they would actually attempt an attack on the United States?
It's hard to figure out what that little guy,
little Kim or whatever, little Jim On Young,
little Rocket Man,
Rocket Man.
Go ahead, Jason.
But it's hard to predict what he'll do and what will set him off. But I tell you, that's another flashpoint. And China needs to step up to control their client state, and which they have not been doing.
All right. Final question. You got another book already in the works yet?
Well, you know, it's sort of like you can't stop writing. If I stop writing, I don't know what I do. So I've got a couple of in fact, coincidentally, I've got a plot percolating about North Korea and China and Cuba and maybe even Venezuela.
Hey, I know what you're talking about, because if I had to stop talking, I wouldn't know what I would do.
Jason, is Red Sparrow just about one of your books, or can you really do maybe two more movies if this is very well accepted? Because I'm ready to buy my tickets.
Well, if the movie does well, you know, a sequel depends on one or two things. First of all, it's box office. How well does the first one do? And then it's whether the cast wants to reprise their roles. So we'll see how it does, and we'll see how the cast feels about making a second movie potentially.
All right, Jason, once again, thanks for spending some time with us today. I hope we can do this again.
I'm looking forward to the movie. It really looked terrific in the theaters. I mean, you know, the
trailer.
The trailer was outstanding.
I hope you guys will enjoy it.
Yep.
Thanks. It's been fun tonight.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
I hope we can do this again. Thank you. We appreciate that. Once again, Jason Matthews, author of the brand new book, The Kremlin's Candidate, and the brand new movie coming out March 2nd. It'll hit the theaters.
Red Sparrow.
So that's going to be 2 weeks from Friday. You'll be able to see Red Sparrow in the theaters, and it is an action-packed movie. All right. We'll take a break and come back, and the suspect is being transported from the hospital to the jail, evidently. I guess they just took him to the hospital to have him checked out. Anyway, we'll update you on the situation in Broward County when we get back. You're listening to the American Adversaries. Don't forget, please follow us on Facebook. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. A lot of great stuff up there. Kathy put a bunch of great stuff up there today. And our website is AmericanAdversaries.com. And you can follow me, a tweeting on Twitter, at Chris Hart Radio. We'll be right back.
FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Mattress stores are all crazy, and they're all the same. They try to force you to buy a new mattress every 8 years. Why? Would you buy a car that you couldn't maintain? Instead of repairing it or even changing the tires, you have to replace it? Of course not. That's crazy. But that's what happens when you go to any mattress store, because all national brand mattresses are sewn or glued shut. Impossible to alter after purchase. If mattress is in the name, expect the same. A major purchase you can't maintain. And that's crazy. So visit Relax and Comfort, where you'll find sane sleep systems. See how you and your partner can enjoy your own firmness with the same mattress, and how you can change them at any time. With stores in Winter Park, Windermere, and Sanford, you're just minutes away from perfect sleep at Relax and Comfort. Learn more at relaxandcomfort.com or call 407-544-3401.
In traffic, we've got the answer.
This
still have slowdowns as far back as Heathrow, and that continues westbound all the way past downtown, and it doesn't clear up until around the Dr. Phillips area. Highway 50 is slow from about the Orlando Executive Airport to Pine Hills. 408 eastbound is fairly clear with the exception of a little bit of a slowdown in the Azalea Park area. 408 westbound is congested from I-4 to about Gotha, and the 408 east and westbound ramps are congested. I'm Zwayne, and that's your Answer Traffic Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
Okay, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, you're listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. All right, we're here. We're live, 407-774-8255. Just want to take a couple of minutes here once again to update you on the situation in Broward County. Reminiscent of O.J. Simpson.
Well, I know, I know. You see the car going down the road.
Helicopters are tracking the three-vehicle caravan, taking the suspect from the hospital to the Broward County Jail, where he'll be booked on multiple counts of murder. Here's what we know. In the shooting in a high school in Broward County this afternoon, just prior to the students being released, it's Wednesday, so they were getting around a little bit early, so this would have been just after noon this afternoon, a former student who has been identified, he is simply, we know his name, but we'll just identify him as a white 18-year-old former student male who decided to go back to the school and carry out a hateful act. And 14 have been transported to the hospital with quote-unquote wounds, and then there is also quote-unquote numerous fatalities. That's all we know so far. One student witness did talk about seeing a security guard who had been shot. So evidently there are both adults and students who are victims of this horrific crime. President Trump has made a statement. He has also tweeted out a couple of things. I'll just read his tweets having to do with this. He says, my prayers and condolences to the families of the victims of the terrible Florida shooting. No child, teacher, or anyone else should ever feel unsafe in an American school. He also tweeted, just spoke to Governor Rick Scott. We are working closely with law enforcement on the terrible Florida school shooting. And obviously, this is a high priority at the White House and in Tallahassee. And once again, if we get any more detail, as we get more details and as the show progresses, we'll keep you updated on this event. But that's what we know now. And that event is winding down in terms of the parents picking up the students and things like that. The scene seems to have pretty well cleared out. The other shooting today happened at the NSA headquarters at Fort Meade in Maryland.
That was amazing. What was it? They three of them just tried to drive through or something?
Three characters in a quote-unquote black SUV tried to breach the gate and were fired upon.
And, I would hope so.
And were captured. Evidently, there were some people wounded in that. We have even less details on that than we have in the Broward thing. And but that was an odd situation, attacking the NSA.
Now, you wonder, could they have had their vehicle loaded with?
Don't know. Like I said, we know
scant
details about that incident, and we'll try to find out more about that one, too. May have to do that overnight, though. But once again, we're monitoring the situation in Broward County. We have some other news of the day that we're going to get to as well. When we come back, you are listening to the American Adversaries. And once again, the Kremlin's Candidate sounds like a cool book. And
sounds
the Red Sparrow,
Red Sparrow
sounds like a cool
can't
movie.
Can't wait. The second, right, of the month?
Yep. Comes out 2 weeks from Friday. That's March the 2nd. So put that on your calendar. All right, in the meantime, we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries. Please be with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up!
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir ourselves, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see the elephant! When I'm a road on a honey.
Welcome to hour number two of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, primed and ready to go. Thanks for tuning in tonight. You're listening to us on FM 105.5 or perhaps on AM 660, The Answer, or perhaps on your Alexa device or on your computer. In any case, we appreciate you for tuning in. We are coming to you live from the Relax and Comfort Studios. Myself, Christopher Hart, and along with Mike McBath, we got Pete Paquette on the bridge again tonight, so we are in very good hands. If you would like to call us at 407-774-8255. First of all, it is today is Ash Wednesday, so we would like to wish a happy beginning of Lent to all of our Catholic friends and listeners out there. And let's see, 5 weeks and 2 days until 5 weeks and 5 days until Easter. I guess it is 40 days, right? All right. So anyway, it is the beginning of Lent, and we certainly once again want to wish all of our Catholic listeners that a big thank you. And also, I'd just like to announce one more time that Julia Kebble has been found. I asked for some prayers on a couple of shows for her, and our prayers have been answered in the affirmative.
Chris, that's an amazing story for the amount of days, because, you know, as every day passes, odds-wise, you know, diminishes sharply. I mean, that's an unbelievable story. And then with her dog?
She was found with her dog. Now, I don't know the particulars, and I don't know what happened. All I do know is, like Mike said, the longer she was out there, the higher the chances were that something very terrible was going to happen to her. So our prayers were answered in the affirmative there. And, yeah, God does talk to us. It's just most of us are too busy to listen or too stupid to. Anyway, I'll get to that a little bit later, why I made that reference here in just a minute. It had to do with something that Joy – I love the way Michael Medved pronounces – I thought it was Joy Behar, but Michael Medved calls her Joy Behar. I like that, too, because she wants to think she be,
you know, it might be
Joy, the queen bee. Right?
Or Joy Behind, because she acts like you know what.
Yeah, like a horse's.
You got it. That's exactly right.
I want to deal with that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. First of all, just to once again bring you up to date on the situation, the school shooting in Broward County, Florida, and that's down there in Fort Lauderdale area. This wasn't in Fort Lauderdale. It was a little township called Parkland, but it's Broward County. The Broward County School Superintendent has announced that there are what he called numerous fatalities. 14 individuals have been transported to a hospital with injuries, So we presume that those fatalities are in addition to those 14 injured. The perpetrator, a former student, an 18-year-old white male, we have his name, but I'm not going to mention it, has been apprehended, quote-unquote, without incident. He was, however, taken to a hospital, evidently to get checked up, maybe a couple of bandages if he was maybe scuffed up a little bit. He was a few minutes ago on his way to the Broward County Jail, and the helicopters were following the police, kind of like OJ style. But he wasn't getting any cheering crowds on the side of the road, though, I'll tell you that right now. The situation is under control. The parents have been reconnected with the students who weren't killed. And we don't know if there were students that were killed even. We presume that it was both adults and students who were victims of this horrific crime. President Trump has issued a statement with his condolences, and he is working closely with Rick Scott to do what they can about this, but the situation is over. It is now simply recognizing exactly what happened and the victims. And so as we get more details, certainly we'll update you, and then we'll, of course, before we get out of here tonight, we'll give you a final update on that situation. Didn't take the situation, the event wasn't even over. The perpetrator had not even been apprehended, and that was done very soon after the shooting. He left the school, he scaled a fence to get away, and then was apprehended nearby. When Senator Murray, Democrat senator, took to the floor of the Senate to condemn the affair, but also to condemn the Senate for not doing something to prevent this sort of thing from happening. Of course, he's talking about gun control. He also used a statistic which numerous media outlets are revealing to be, shall we say, false. Grossly misleading, calling this the 19th school shooting of the year. Just so happens I was going home the other night listening to Larry Elder on the show. By the way, he follows us at 7 o'clock. Great show. Love him. He was talking about, at this time, it was supposedly 18.
Yeah.
Okay?
But he was breaking it down as to what it comprised of.
Right. Didn't we just have an incident over in Tampa? I think there were two people.
Yep.
Anyway, of those so-called 19 shootings, one of them was a guy took a shot at a school bus with a BB gun.
That's one.
Another two were suicides that had been committed on a school campus while no one else was around.
And they had no relevance to students or teachers on campus.
The schools were closed, both at night, I believe.
Okay.
One was a stray round. Once again, this was on
three.
This was at night when no one was at the school. A stray round from a shooting somewhere else.
Maybe a guy was hunting.
And there are other cases that are similar. So, and by the way, if it was 19 quote unquote school shootings since the first of the year, well, today is, guess what? Today's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to all you ladies out there, and you men too.
and if you didn't get your listeners
out there, let's put it that way.
If you didn't get your wife a gift, it's not going to be a happy Valentine's Day. I can assure you that.
But that means today is the 45th day of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So if there were 19 school shootings, that means there would have been one every 2.5 days.
Right.
I mean, we would be talking about nothing else. This is the kind of nonsense and lies that are being perpetrated. And that was on the Senate floor.
Right.
Then you had Bill Nelson basically saying the same things. And he didn't use that. I don't know if he – there he is. We're seeing him on
TV. Came out of his house for once.
Yeah, he woke and was awakened from his slumber. But nonetheless, they're out there calling for gun control and we need to do more, to prevent guns. And once again, it is – inappropriate while the event is still going on to begin to turn this into a political
sideshow. It's terrible.
And fundraiser.
I mean, these people, they don't even know yet if their child was one of the victims or anything, and these people are out there already starting a political campaign.
Trying to make political hay of it.
Not good.
And no, it's not, but that is the situation as we see it right now. Once again, as we get more details, if they come to us, we'll bring them to you immediately. But again, we'll give you a re-update a little bit later on in the show. Now, this happened this afternoon, shortly after noon, right before the students were to get out, and Wednesday is the early day.
Yep.
The other shooting that happened today was not at a school. It was at Fort Meade. And, of course, Fort is an Army base, and that was where the NSA is located in Maryland.
I would love to know the details, but as you said, no one's released them. I mean, that sounds like the craziest thing I've ever heard of. Three guys sort of rammed through the fence?
Tried to break through the front gate, and they were engaged with fire, and they evidently have been apprehended. No scant little details about that. That has been overshadowed by this situation in South Florida, but that situation is highly unusual, shall we say, that three guys in an SUV think they're going to breach the gate at an Army base and somehow get into the NSA and do what?
Too much marijuana, Chris. I don't get that one at all, unless that van was loaded with weapons or something. I have no idea what they're doing.
We have very few details on that as well. So we'll be certainly trying to get more details about that, if not during the show, certainly overnight, to find out more about what was going on there. I can see one guy kind of going off his rocker doing something like that, but three?
The high school had 3,200 students, though. That was a lot of students in circulation. Thank God.
That's not unusual for a Florida high school.
No, without a doubt.
Not. You know, back when I was in Winter Park High School, we had 3,000 students, and that was the largest school in Florida. But now it's typical.
You were valedictorian?
No.
Oh, I thought
far
you were.
Far from it.
Oh, I was under the assumption you were.
Far from it, my friend. Far from it. It's interesting because in junior high, I was in the honor society.
Right.
And in high school, I could barely get by. And then in college, I was back on the dean's list.
I mean, when it was time to turn it on, you did, Chris.
It's all
you know
where
what I mean?
Your heart that's is.
Very good.
I remember one day in algebra class, I heard the teacher, Mr. Merrick, he was going, and one thing I like about Chris over there is he's over there nodding his head to everything I say. The reason I was nodding my head is because I had dozed off and my head was on my chest and it was going up and down as
I was I always say college was the longest 8 years of my life.
I think a lot of it had to do with I had to be there at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's not fair.
No.
I mean, that really punished you intellectually.
I ain't a morning guy, that's for sure.
Unbelievable.
All right, anyway, once again, we'll keep you updated on this situation in South Florida. When we come back, we got the rest of the day's news. We're going to cram into the show
little
here.
Little fun stories here.
Yeah, we got some good stuff, and we got some crazy stuff, as usual, right here on the American Adversaries. And don't forget, please follow us on Facebook. That's American Adversaries on Facebook, where you can like us and leave us messages and post and all that sort of stuff. We'll be right back.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
Folks, if you drive a Mercedes-Benz, you need to know Jerry Shepard of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service. Jerry owns and operates a state-of-the-art service center. Because you drive a Mercedes, you obviously care about quality workmanship. That's what you'll find at Jerry's. When you need expert maintenance or repair work and want it at the best price, call Jerry's at 407-366-6499. They'll have your Mercedes humming while you skip those high dealer rates. For the dealership alternative, call 407-366-6499. Jerry'sMB.com.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
I-4 slowdown starting in Sanford, and they continue westbound all the way past downtown, and it doesn't clear up until about Celebration. Highway 50 is slow from the Orlando Executive Airport all the way to Pine Hills. 408 eastbound is congested from I-4 to about Azalea Park. There's an accident in Azalea Park that is causing that slowdown. 408 westbound is congested until about Gotha, and you have an accident right when you get on to 408 from I-4. The 408 east and westbound ramps seem to be very congested. I'm Zwain, and that's your answer traffic update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, the answer.
Okay, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. The American Adversary is 407-774-8255 is the number. We do have an update. It's not good news. Mike.
Yeah, this is certainly not good news. At least 16 dead in the Florida school shooting. You know, police have named the suspect, which we're aware of. And again, this doesn't mean it's just 16. We'll see later if there'll be any more revealed.
14 have been taken to the hospital with quote-unquote wounds, and I assume that some of those may be what they would say when they say at least.
That's right. Don't
16,
like that word.
16 dead. So, once again, this is in Broward County, Florida. They have apprehended the shooter. He was a former student, 18 years old. He has been identified as a white male. He has a Hispanic last name, not that that means anything, but we're just not going to say his name. And we don't know why he was not going to the school anymore. Don't know if this was an act of revenge. Perhaps he'd been suspended from school. Just speculation. Do not know at all.
What's interesting, though, we do know his name, right?
Yes.
And you know how nosy the media is and how they're looking for the first scoop. They must know a little bit about what's taking place.
I'm wondering
what's going on here.
Well, I presume that we're going to find out if he had a Facebook page and
things that he might have been
posting on it.
Yep.
They were saying earlier that there were no indications prior to this that he would do something like this. But they're simply saying he was a former student. Now, he could have graduated at 18. I suppose perhaps he graduated. Or perhaps he quit school.
Possibly.
We just do not know. It is a horrific event, though. Something must have really set the kid off in order to do something like this. Who knows? Maybe he had some mental health issues as well.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know where he got the weapons. But he has been apprehended and taken to the Broward County Jail. He was checked out at the hospital first. 16 dead, though. So this is a horrific event, and please, once again, we constantly call for prayers around here, and that's because it works. God listens, and tonight we need to pray for the families and friends of these poor souls, and, of course, their souls as well. Very, 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 very tough. When you think you send your kid to school, you think he's going to be okay, at least while he's at school.
That's a horrible thought. Can you imagine if you got a notice and your child sitting there?
I tell you what, might be best I never had kids because I wouldn't let them go out of the house.
Oh, I know.
You know?
But you know what? They got to grow up. They got to, and also, again, like they say, there's three things you can do in a situation like this, and hopefully they understood it. Run, hide, and fight. You know, I mean, all the things you got to bring across to your children, anything for survival.
Yeah, and evidently the fire alarm went off, which alerted people that something was going on,
good.
And so they did have plans, and schools now do have shooting drills, kind of like the old fire drills, and so we don't know if the situation could have been worse, but it's obviously bad enough with 16 dead. In the meantime, there was a shooting at the NSA headquarters in Maryland, and three perpetrators were captured there. That's about all we know for that. In the meantime, President Trump has decried domestic violence to try to silence all of the clamoring going on in the media.
Didn't he make that statement, Rob Porter? This morning? I mean, before this incident even occurred.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty interesting. He makes that statement.
No, it's because they were harassing, and I would call it harassing, Sarah Huckabee Sanders in the press briefings. Why doesn't Trump come out and condemn domestic violence? I mean,
what a foolish statement.
Like, are they disappointed that he's not for domestic violence?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the kind of claptrap that we're getting from these fools. And if it hadn't been for these shootings, I'm sure they'd still be talking about Rob Porter tonight. And by the way, it's even the liberal media is conceding that President Trump knew nothing about this until it came out. A few days, he had been told that there were issues with Rob, but Rob assured him that it was okay, and he didn't take it any further. He thought things were handled. Evidently, General Kelly is not looked good in all of this. When FBI Director Wray spoke about this yesterday, he gave the timeline of when they were giving information to the FBI, and the FBI, quote-unquote, completed their investigation in November and turned the results over to Don McGahn. Now, Don McGahn is the president's lawyer. By the way, on Sunday night, I confused him with another of the president's lawyers. Don McGahn was brought into the campaign by the president because he worked for one of the high-priced, high-power law firms in Washington, D.C. that helped other people get elected to president, like George W. Bush.
Right.
And he's also a former Federal Elections Commission chairman. So they brought him into the campaign because he knows his way around, okay? And the information was being delivered to him because he's now the lead White House counsel, and he was, for whatever reason, sitting on it. And then in January, the FBI was made aware of some more things, I presume the photographs, I don't know. And then so they issued another report to McGahn, and then that's the one that began the process that ended up with him being relieved. But the media has been trying to make a big deal out of it because he couldn't have security clearance. He couldn't have top security clearance if this wasn't resolved, and they're right about that. What they don't tell you is that Ben Rhodes, who was a top national security advisor to Barack Obama for all 8 years, and he was one of the lead negotiators with the Iran deal, he's the guy who spoke about the media being green and dumb, which is why they were able to hoodwink him for so long. And he was the one who was a author. He wrote novels before.
Oh, of course.
He never got a security clearance. Never. And yet he was Barack Obama's top security advisor. Far worse situation than Rob Porter.
He's a Democrat. There's
that
your
says
answer.
It all,
it's real simple.
It?
I don't have to say anything else.
That indeed says it all. It does indeed. We got to take a break here in just a few seconds. Eddie's on the line. We'll take his phone call after the break. 407-774-8255 is the number. We got some other of the day's news as well. And Vice President Trump has responded to Joy Behar and ABC. Ugh. And we'll get into that and what she had to say and how utterly ludicrous and moronic that it was. But, of course, we're not surprised by that coming out of that crowd.
What's new?
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries. And I do hope you'll be with us. 17 dead now. 17 dead now. 17 dead in Broward County. God help them. We'll be right back.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel now says 17 people lost their lives in today's school shooting in South Florida today. The male shooter was identified as Nicholas Cruz. The official spoke on condition of anonymity because he wasn't authorized to discuss the information publicly. Previously, Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel said the shooter was a former student. He said the shooter was outside and inside the school at points during the attack and taken into custody without an incident about an hour after he left the school. Israel said police were waiting for the SWAT team to give them the all clear so that they could go inside the school. Again, 17 people have lost their lives in today's school shooting in South Florida today. On Wall Street, the Dow by 253 points. The NASDAQ rose 130. The S&P advanced 36. More details at SRNNews.com.
Mattress stores are all crazy, and they're all the same. They try to force you to buy a new mattress every 8 years. Why?
Would you buy a car that you couldn't maintain? Instead of repairing it or even changing the tires, you have to replace it? Of course not. That's crazy. But that's what happens when you go to any mattress store, because all national brand mattresses are sewn or glued shut, impossible to alter after purchase. If mattress is in the name, expect the same. A major purchase you can't maintain. And that's crazy. So visit Relax and Comfort, where you'll find Sane Sleep Systems. See how you and your partner can enjoy your own firmness with the same mattress and how you can change them at any time. With stores in Winter Park, Windermere, and Sanford, you're just minutes away from perfect sleep at Relax and Comfort. Learn more at relaxandcomfort.com or call 407-544-3401.
Here from Vacation Travel Planners, a member of Cruise Planners, with the latest vacation deals. Like Bahama Cruises from $229 per person. How about an Alaska 7-night cruise starting at $599 per person? Caribbean 7-night cruises are starting at $349 per person. Receive free prepaid gratuities on select Avalon Waterway River cruises. Special savings on all-inclusive packages to the Dominican Republic and Mexico. Up to 65% off Sandals and Beaches Resorts, plus additional offers. Receive 2-for-1 savings with kids sale for free on MSC Divina and Seaside. Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening to the American Adversaries for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
Oh, yeah. Well, you've heard the horror stories. The couple comes home from shopping.
Oh my gosh, there's water pouring out of the ceiling fan in the living room. Henry, quick, grab a bucket.
My new wood floors. They're ruined. Gosh, I wish we had this home inspected before we signed on the dotted line.
This is Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Buying a home is the biggest investment you'll make. You have to know what you're getting into. Henry and June now have a nightmare on their hands. Don't let that happen to you. Call Firm Foundation Home Inspections before you sign on the dotted line. We'll inspect the property from roof to foundation with the latest technology to know if there are any leaks or electrical problems. You'll get a detailed report, and at Firm Foundation, we warranty our work, ensuring your peace of mind.
Don't make that big investment without calling the home inspector that more realtors use. Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Call 321-624-0254 or go online to orlandoshomeinspector.com.
Okay, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you live from the Relax and Comfort Studios. 407-774-8255 is the number. Mike McBath in the studio with myself, Christopher Hart. We do have an update on that shooting in South Florida at Broward County High School. There are indeed 17 dead. Two of the 14 that were transported to the hospital have died at the hospital. The shooting started outside the school. There are two people who were killed outside the school. A number of people killed, students and teachers, we are being told, killed inside the school. The perpetrator then left. I don't know if he ran out of ammunition or what, but he was captured outside the school grounds, quote-unquote, without incident.
Plus, he tripped the alarm. Which
this is what he did. Yeah.
Unfortunately, flushed the kids into the hallways and stuff, yeah. Which made unfortunately better targets.
Yeah, I thought maybe the alarm would have been a good thing, but no. Obviously, a fire alarm. You want to get out of the building,
right.
And in a shooting, they're taught to hunker down in the classrooms. He probably knew the procedure. He's a 19-year-old former student of the school who was expelled for quote unquote disciplinary reasons. They're not being any more specific than that. 19 years old, expelled, is identified as a white male. He has an Hispanic name, which we're not going to say. And he has been apprehended. He was taken to the hospital and checked out and is now at the Broward County Jail, where he's being booked on numerous murder charges. And just a very horrific event, and you just have to feel for the parents and loved ones of the 17 who have died. It's kind of lottery you don't want to win. And just a very terrible thing. And once again, please pray for these families in this time. The president has issued a statement, his condolences, and he's working with Rick Scott. But the event is over. The damage has been done, and the perpetrator has been caught. And but the Democrats, once again, are jumping all over this, trying to make it into a gun rights issue. And it is anything but. This is a hateful, spiteful heart issue, if anything. The sheriff just gave a brief press conference, and he more or less sort of cryptically referenced the social media, didn't really say anything other than that old line, if you see something, say something. And don't know if perhaps the guy was making threats online or something like that. But obviously he had an axe to grind, and he did it today in a horrific way. And if we get any more details, as we get more details, we'll let you know. In the meantime, Eddie has been waiting on the line. Eddie, thank you for calling tonight.
This is a broken world, sir.
Well, it's a world full of sin, that's for sure, and it's always been that way. But it's certainly hate has seemed to have risen its ugly head again here today. In an instance like this, the main thing we can do right now is pray for the victims and do what we can to prevent this in the future, and which is not going to be gun control. It's going to be other measures. Eddie?
It'll never be gun control. I got something. I've been thinking about this FBI thing where they did the background check on this guy. They let that guy in. That's deep state stuff.
Yeah.
These people knew better. They should have thrown up the red flags. They just let this guy in, and they knew what they were doing. They need to be investigated.
Yeah, the thought had crossed my mind that they kind of let him hang out there for an instance to come along just like this so that they could, you know, lay it at Trump's feet. But once again, even the liberal media is having to admit that President Trump was not in the quote-unquote loop on this one.
It's not his job. It's not his job to investigate these people.
No.
It's his job to delegate.
Right.
He thinks the FBI is going to act like FBI, that they're not going to act like deep state and do stuff like this to him. And then he gets caught in it. And we need to just realize that they thought they had a good man in there. They possibly were wrong about that. I don't know the whole story about it. But they, regardless, if there's a question, they should have never let the man near the president. And they did.
Yeah, indeed.
And there you go.
And by the way, the office that handles security clearance checks that works with the FBI is across the street from the White House. They're not even in the same building. So certainly some shenanigans could have been going on there. And the thought crossed my mind as well. The FBI could have easily said, no, he's not going to get a security clearance at all, and he doesn't even belong in the White House. And that would have been the end of it. But they did not
do
that.
Yes, sir. 1+1.
You got it. You got it. All right. Thank you so much, Eddie. We appreciate you being out there, and thanks for your patience and holding there. Yes, sir. Anytime. Anytime. Okay. So we now know 17 dead here in South Florida as darkness is falling on the scene down there. The students have been evacuated from the school and reconnected with their parents, at least the ones who are survivors. And just once again, a horrific event. That the Democrats are trying to turn into political fodder for gun control laws. And you got to wonder, you know, if he hadn't done this, what else would he have used? Maybe a bomb, maybe set fire to something.
Oh, I know.
Because somebody who's full of hate like this is going to act on it. It's a reality.
It'd be interesting, really, to see why he was expelled, you know, what his background has been, and then maybe better conclusions can become.
Right.
Arrive, but we'll see.
Right. And then there was the mysterious attack on the NSA in Maryland this morning by three guys who were apprehended. All right. The reference that Eddie was making there to Rob Porter, of course, the media is still trying to make hay out of this. And once again, and I'll continue to remind you when these instances come up, that the media has three or four attack lines that they're going after the president on. One is that he's incapable of doing the job because he's either nuts or stupid or doesn't read or whatever. Mm-hmm. The other is the Russia collusion story. And then, of course, the one about the sexism and misogynism. And that's where this bit, this Rob Porter bit fits in.
You know, Chris, everybody's getting so numb to the actions of the media. In other words, even when they start talking about gun control, I can assure you just go, oh, yeah, okay. I mean, the reality is the Democratic Party doesn't want to act. They don't want to resolve problems. And this idea of constantly trying to pound this president when we got situations like North Korea and everything else out there, you know, they're not winning friends. They're not winning, influencing friends and getting votes.
Which is why I encourage them to do more of the same.
Yeah, keep going.
Because it is benefiting President Trump. It's benefiting all of us because we're seeing what a bunch of, you know, shall we say, useful idiots that they are.
They just won't respond. And as I said, today was supposed to be a big day in DACA and nothing happened in essence.
No,
you know?
Nothing happened
nothing.
Because the Democrats are filibustering themselves. And what I mean by that is, you know, Mitch McConnell had to make this deal to get the budget things passed, that as soon as all that was done, they were going to have a serious debate in the Senate.
Oh, yeah.
They were going to get down and have a serious debate in the Senate on immigration. And so here's what's going on in the Senate. There is no debate going on the floor of the Senate. And why? Because the Democrats are filibustering the debate. Why would they be filibustering the debate, you might ask? Well, first of all, they don't want anything to be voted on. They've got their own bill, and they won't put it on the floor. And nor will they, because they're filibustering, allow the Republicans to put the president's plan on the floor or Chairman of the Judiciary Committee Grassley's plan, which basically mirrors the president's plan, allows 1.8 million so-called dreamers to, over a 12-year period, attain citizenship. It also eliminates the lottery immigration, $25 billion for the wall, and it would severely restrict chain migration.
You know, if you were
none of that's going to happen because the Democrats are filibustering that which they demanded, the debate on DACA. They're filibustering it. So, no, they're not doing anything up there but wasting people's time
and trying to make
political points. But once again, go right ahead. You know, there was a guy on Fox this weekend, and he was a DACA guy. He's a dreamer guy, right?
Right. I saw that individual, and he was very positive to the Republican side, and he explained why. And obviously, he could see through what the Democrats were doing. And I'm afraid there's a lot of these DACA individuals that know exactly what's going on that's going to hang these Democrats before it's over.
Didn't we tell you on this very show, it was either last week or the week before, you can go to our archive and dig it out, it's AmericanAdversaries.com, we told you that the president's plan was brilliant. And the reason why it was brilliant is because the DACA people were going to say, what are you waiting on, Democrats?
You got to do something.
This.
I got to get out of this situation.
And they weren't going to care about chain migration. They weren't going to care about
care of me.
Right.
Now.
And that's
now.
Why it was a brilliant political move by the president.
This is going to be another disaster to the Democrats because as time gets closer and closer, you know, the squeeze play comes in, and I don't believe that Trump will back off other than what
he
said. That's right.
Why should he?
This is what I offered you more than you originally asked. Yep. Obama did nothing between, 2009 and 11 when he could have done something.
Yep.
Guess what, fellas? I'd have helped you all, but sorry.
Yep. And so it's, you know, it's playing out like we predicted that it would, and the Democrats have walked right into the trap, and they're only more than welcome to stay there.
And, you know, with this incident, again, it's going to dilute what's going on, and, you know, things aren't going to get done.
All right. Okay, we'll take a break and come back and give you the final update on the school shooting in Parkland, Florida. That's down in Broward County. We also have a caller on the line. We'll take his call as well. If you want to be a part of the show, you better call quickly, 407-774-8255. Larry Elder will be following us up, and I'm sure he's going to have a lot of very interesting and informative things to say about this event. We'll be right back.
FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
Business owners, this is for you. Competition is tough these days, so you need maximum visibility to stand out in this crowded landscape. And Dino Rento Studios can give you that visibility. Their eye-catching signs, 3D displays, banners, bumper stickers, and car magnets will get your business the attention you're looking for. Dino will also make your convention display the talk of the event. So call Dino Rento Studios at 800-704-7089, 800-704-7089, or visit them at DinoRentosStudios.com, Dino, R-E-N-T-O-S, Studios.com, where they bring ideas to life.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santomassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
Okay, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. Once again, Larry Elder's following us up at 7 o'clock. Now, tomorrow's going to be Thursday night, and we're going to be doing our contest around here tomorrow night. And Mike has the challenge for you right
now.
Well,
this is a bit lighter than what we've been discussing, but I think many of us got a chance to see the beautiful portraits of the Obama family. Barack Obama and his beautiful wife, Michelle, yesterday. These will be in the Smithsonian. And we would just like to see what your image of this or your opinion of these were. And, you know, the one with Barack, he was sitting there. It looked like there was ivy around them, whatever, green leaves. And then the main thing is, I'm going to take an example like his wife. She looked like she was sitting for an American Revolutionary picture. But the problem was, it wasn't the Revolution of 1776. It looked to me like she's sitting there for the Revolution of 2020.
Or maybe 1917.
And if you saw Brock's picture with that green background, it really reminded me, it looked like a salad. You know what I mean? And then just throw a few tomatoes in there. But this is great. Yeah. So come up with your image of those two pictures.
No, Barack's is going to be a print ad for Charmin or Angel Soft or something of the like, I'm sure.
That was the worst picture. And then when you hear about the history of that artist, how would they allow him to do it when you truly know the history of that gentleman? And really, he was an absolute racist, meaning
the
artists themselves.
The presidents choose their artist.
Okay, and they haven't changed, Brock. You know, you're still walking down that lane.
Yeah.
So let's tell them what we really think of his artwork.
And in those leaves around Brock, did you hear about this?
I'm surprised they weren't marijuana leaves surrounding the guy.
No, somewhere hidden in those leaves evidently is a human sperm
This
guy would put these in his pictures, in his portraits.
Really? Ew.
It's like his signature. That's what
that sounded bad. That's his signature?
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding.
Oh, boy, this is a sick crew, I'll tell you. Ooh.
Indeed they are. Mm. All you got to do is look at their work.
Are you kidding?
No. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Jeff and then John. Jeff, thank you for calling tonight. We are appreciating your being out there.
Hey, well, first off, I just want to say my prayers, and my family will be praying for the families in Broward County.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I just want to say, you know, it's amazing. I'm scared that people aren't getting what you're saying, though. They're arguing against they're filibustering the bill now. I mean, I just saw a story yesterday. Trump said that the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan have cost $7 trillion.
Yep.
Right. The story was, but that's not true. It's only $1.8 trillion. But they've been arguing for 16 years that we're spending so much money on these wars, and now all of a sudden Trump says they cost $7 trillion. Well, wait. They haven't cost that much. I'm just afraid that people aren't really seeing that. They're not really catching the fact that, wait, these people have been telling you for 16 years, Bush got us into this mess, we spent so much money, and now Trump says, yes, I agree, we spent a ton of money. And now they make the opposite argument.
Well,
and
see,
people are like, oh, well, whatever.
But see, this is what I think is the beauty of Trump, is that he has a way of exposing people's hypocrisies. And he, it maybe intentionally or not, it just sort of comes out. And, yeah, a lot of people are not going to get it. A lot of people never get it. But a number of people are getting it. And the president's poll numbers are showing it. And more people are believing that, for instance, that the election was rigged against him, not the other way around. And more people are beginning to see through the Democratic Party as he exposes them for what they are. So that's part of the brilliance of Trump. I mean, that's part of the Trump experience. So
I absolutely
there's still
I
hope.
Thought it was brilliant the other day. I was cracking up when I'm reading the story. I'm thinking, you guys, because this was on Yahoo News.
Right.
I'm thinking, you guys have been arguing the opposite point for 16 years.
Exactly.
And now all of a sudden, where were you for? And now all of a sudden it doesn't matter because it's Trump and you're going to prove that he's a liar because it's only 1.8. But now you prove his point. I mean, now you prove the Republican side that says, well, it really didn't cost all that much. I mean, it's just. I'm just dumbfounded that they can't get it. I'm glad you guys are positive that people are getting it. I'm still nervous that the average Joe Democrat isn't smart enough to see that.
I think
maybe the average Joe Democrat might not.
I think that the average working Democrat gets it.
I mean, look at
the average Democrat who might be on the take. Is probably not going to get it. But the average Democrat who works hard and gets up every day and goes to work and now seeing different things happening in their job and their paycheck and things like that, those are tangible things that they can touch and feel. And so that's where it makes a difference. We're not talking theory or theoretical stuff or arguing, debating. We're talking in their pocket money.
But when you look at Chris, what happened, how the polls accelerated in the last 3-4 weeks, right? Yep. Why did they accelerate? We all know. Tax cut, right?
Well, I got to be honest with you guys. I think those polls were, I don't want to say rigged. I don't want to be that guy. But I think those polls were purposely being flawed and kept down. And I think they found, okay, wait, this tax cut people are going to like. It's our opportunity to get those numbers up where they should have been all along.
Well, what they do, you're onto something, because what they do is they overweight the sampling in the poll. They overweight with Democrats. They overweight with unregistered voters. That's how they overweight the polls and skew the numbers. But even now, it's becoming harder for them to do that, even overweighting the polls, because some Democrats are beginning to be more, shall we say, tolerant of President Trump. I'm not going to say they're big fans of his, but they're beginning to be, okay, I can live with this guy, you know, and I'll take that for now, okay? Because that's a big step in the right direction. At the end of the day, all we can do is keep plugging away and hoping and praying for the best.
And when we think of him, is 49 for Trump really a 54? You know, in the polls, you know, in the sense of, I mean, that's the real question.
Let's put it this way. On Election Day 2016, President Trump had, quote unquote, an approval rating of 37%.
Right.
And he was elected president with 306 delegates.
So it was 37-48.
I'll take it any day.
Okay.
Thanks, Jeff.
We got it.
And thank you.
All right, guys. See ya.
And thank you for extending your prayers and your condolences to those poor, poor folks. My heart just goes out to these folks. Send your kid to school. And All right. John is up next. John, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate your being there.
Thank you so very much for having me. I just I want to start off by saying that my heart is just hurting so bad tonight for those parents.
I understand.
That sent their kids this morning to school and expected them to come home safe and sound, and they won't. And it's just really an American tragedy, to be quite honest with you. And it hurts me so profoundly.
Thank you for saying that.
Thank you. I wanna say that I think that you guys are right that this is going to turn into another gun debate. But I think what it really needs, what really needs to be debated, is family and what's happened to family in this country. You know, you talk about this kid that went into a school and just started shooting people. Who's his father? Who's his mother? Does he have a brother or a sister? Does he love somebody or something in this life?
Yep.
You know, how do you do that?
Right.
You know, there was a time when I was growing up when we used to sit together for dinner every night. It was something that we had to do. You couldn't miss dinner. And my parents took that opportunity to talk to me about my day at school. Was anybody bothering me? How I'm feeling? We would talk about life events, current events, you know, and it's that support that you get at home and in your family that makes you a normal person.
Yeah.
And doesn't allow you to go out and just kill people randomly.
Yeah, you're so right. As you were talking, I was thinking this kid probably doesn't have a father at home. If he does, he's obviously not a big part of his life, but the breakdown of the family, you have hit the nail on the head. It has been primarily the breakdown of the family that has led to the rise in crime and these types of events. And you can see it more clearly in the Black community, where the breakdown of the family has resulted in, if you're a young Black male, your chances of going to prison or ending up in a morgue somewhere are extremely high. And it's because the family has broken down. You do not have that family structure. And you're absolutely right. It's in the family structure where we first learn human respect and love and tolerance and all of the things that we need to be, you know, good citizens in a society. And that's why it's so insidious what progressivism and communism does, because it is focused on breaking down the family and making the government the family.
You know, it's
interesting. And that will never, ever work.
Chris, you wonder, even in the 60s and the 70s, how many major shootings were they in the schools when, like John just mentioned?
Weren't.
The family, now you got it. The family would sit down at dinner at night. The father would be there. The mother would be there. You talk about family things. You just wouldn't even envision doing something like this. So the question is, how have we gone from the 60s and 70s without these mass murders to where we are today?
I can answer
that. Do you think there's a certain ideology out there that's polluting our country?
Two words, liberal politics.
You got it.
John, I'm out of time, but thank you for your call. Very heartfelt remarks. We really do appreciate it. God bless you. Thank you for listening to the show.
You too, my friend, and keep fighting the good fight. Thank you.
You better believe we will.
But John is so right. As basic that, I mean, think of like Joy Behar and them talking about, it's a laugh, right? If you're a Christian, it's a laugh. If you have a family,
I wanted to get to that tonight, but we'll talk about it tomorrow night. Because
it's not a real laugh at all.
No, because it goes to the heart of all of this,
of these problems.
Exactly. Right.
And discipline in the schools, which we even referenced too. That's a major problem.
Right. What you want to bet this kid wasn't a Christian. All right, 17 dead in South Florida, and please, as the last couple of callers said they would do, pray for these poor, poor families. And by the way, there were adult victims as well. They weren't all students, but all of the families have been devastated by what happened today in South Florida. You've been listening to the American Adversaries. Larry Elder is up next. Please follow us on Facebook, American Adversaries on Facebook. You can follow me on Twitter at Chris Hart Radio. Our website is AmericanAdversaries.com. Tomorrow night is contest night. See you then. Night, everybody.